Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the Force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCurdy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fadra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to discuss a lot of news, because a lot of news did come out recently. But before we do that, I guess I'll ask you guys what you've been up to. I'll ask Jack first, because I know that he's been up to something that he shared with us via email.
Well, I finished my recent model project. It's a Rogue One Ewing, but it's not exactly the Ewing we've seen. I added a whole bunch of greebles all over it. I swapped the engines out so they're a little bit beefier, because I never liked the way the engines kind of tapered down to smaller parts.
So what did you swap it out with?
I had an old X-Wing 148 scale AMT X-Wing. So I cut the rear engines in half and added those pieces on. I did some additional styrene addition pieces onto it to give it a little bit more definition, because it's a bigger engine. I put a cockpit in with a new pilot. So it was a closer to a 172 size pilot versus the much smaller scale that came with it. However, I screwed up the windows, where sometimes when you use a type of glue on clear parts, it can give you that like cloudy residue. And unfortunately, all the hard work from the cockpit inside was now obscured by the mist. So I cleaned up what I could, but it is what it is.
And you have it on Imgur?
I have it on Imgur. I'm still working on it, where I haven't done much of the text for the build diary, so I got to catch that up. I'm glad to have it over with. It was a lot of work on a $10 model.
Just $10? That's actually not bad at all.
No, the model was not expensive. I mean, it was a mass-produced Revell SnapTight kit, which is kind of an introductory model, because it also has like a big component piece you put in it that has lights and sounds. It's a kid's model, but it's the only models produced of that subject. They didn't make a larger scale Bandai kit or even a skill 3 level kit. It's basically a one kit. It's a snap together. But some of those kits are a lot of fun because since the detail isn't there, you can add the detail. And you could kind of update it so you can really, you can shine up that stone to make it look a little bit more like a gem. So
no, I was impressed. I'm always impressed with what you do with your models, like how you age up some of the paint job on it, that it makes it look older than I could never do that. I don't have the patience or the talent to do something like that, but it looks really good. My only issue with that design of that, what is it? It's the U-Wing. I don't like the way it looks. I just don't like the design of it. It looks like a tuning fork, you know?
It does kind of. It's not a more inspired design, because if you take away the two wings, it's literally a brick in space.
So why did you buy it then?
I got it because I'm like, you know what? Let me see what I can have some fun with this. Let me try to, you know, see what I can do with it. So I did some minor alteration to the hull. So it's not as brick-like, where the forward guns and the cockpit are a little bit more pronounced. I built up the underside of the wings where I put two long missile chutes. I figured I'm like, oh, let's just say, you know, they have these wings and they have to blow something up. So it has two long missile tubes that run the length of the wing underneath, tucked underneath. It also gives the wing a little stability because since it's plastic and it's relatively thin, the wings would bend a lot, you know, because they weren't that thick. But this spruced them up so that way there's a little bit more body to them, so it keeps them straight.
That's cool.
But the thing you said, the patience, you know, some people do ask that, like, you know, doesn't this make you crazy? And you know what? It's almost a Zen sort of thing. When you're doing all this really small scale stuff, you got to put all the other crap in your head out of the way for a while. So it's relaxing because all that other stuff you just kind of put away and you know, paint a figure that's, you know, 3/4 of an inch tall, you know, so it does relax you because it distracts you from everything else. It still keeps your mind active going. So that's partially why I enjoy it so much.
That's cool.
As you're doing it, you got to forget all the other crap that went on during the day and just concentrate on something different. So it's a different school of thought. Some people, like you were saying, I don't have the patience. I don't have the talent. Well, the way you develop the talent is practice, you know, and who cares? It's your model. So, you know, as long as you're happy with the way it looks, you're fine. You know,
who are you making this stuff for? And where could people find that? What's your account on Imgur?
If you go on Imgur and you use the tag Jack Mack, JACKMAK, it will pull up all my model posts. So this is the 6th build diary. And you can see the step-by-step of what I've done in building these. And you can see the process. And sometimes you can pick up a tip of what I did was I looked at others' build diaries. And that kind of gave me an idea to do something else. And if you're into modeling, take a look and possibly you'll get an idea that you might be able to use. So, you know, it's all about sharing what you're doing and what you're working on. So,
okay.
Keeps me out of trouble. Keeps me off the streets.
So what about you, Fedra? What have you been up to? Anything spectacular? Building models?
No, not building models lately. No, just pretty much focusing on work, but I think this weekend I'm planning to definitely get into the Wasp and Ant-Man, since that's part of the MCU I still haven't seen. So I think this weekend just going to get back to that.
So you're going to see Ant-Man first and then Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yes.
Okay. Because, yeah, that's the way to do it. She's in that one, too. And she's in Ant-Man. She's in a large chunk of it, but she doesn't become the Wasp. I what's the deal, Jack? I forget.
She becomes the Wasp in the second one. You know, she's there in the first one, but she's not really suiting up.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but
yeah, let me yeah.
Yeah, I won't spoil anything, but she has a pretty big role in this. It's like she basically his partner along with Michael Douglas. It's a fun movie, but I just think Ant-Man's a boring character.
But Michael Peña is great in it.
Yeah, that's true. You'll love Michael Peña.
Those bits. Yeah. You know what? Those are definitely Fedra moments. Cause I could see Fedra telling a story like that.
In her Slavic accent.
In her Slavic accent.
Okay. Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Journal, and then he went here and he talked to his friend Bobby, and Bobby said, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, that made me want to watch it again after you said that. Michael Pena, I forgot that he was in it.
He was really good.
Yeah,
and I'm glad they did that bit in the second one as well. And yeah, hopefully it'll be in the third, because those were very, very funny.
Yeah, hope so.
I'm looking forward to it. And as always, I'll tell you what I think and rate it.
Oh, cool. Also, I wanted to say, I'm sorry if I cut you off with the Eternals roundtable. I know you had a lot of notes. Was there anything that you wanted to discuss that you didn't have time to discuss?
No, I think we got to all of it. I was just kind of narrowing it out, you know, mm-hmm. in parts. But one side of the page of these notes is just the staff itself, because it's such a big staff. So I had like everyone's name out, you know, and the director and everybody.
I read they were thinking of adding more. I was like, geez. I've been on some of the boards, and it's just ridiculous how political things have become. Like, I kind of sway to one way to the right a little bit, but if I see a good movie and I like it, you know, I'm not going to criticize it just because I don't like the actors in it or their political beliefs. Like Robert De Niro and I don't think the same way, but I love Robert De Niro movies. I'm never going to stop watching them. But it's just ridiculous. Like, I go on IMDb and you look at the reviews for Eternals and you'll see one star and then you'll see 10 stars. And, it's not a one star movie. It's not a 10 star movie. Anybody that says that has an axe to grind, basically. You can walk away from that movie and say, it's a decent movie. It's okay, but it's
okay.
Yeah, it's not the greatest movie that Marvel's ever made.
No, not by any stretch, but it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think you could say that's the worst Marvel movie. Well, it's subjective. I mean, maybe it is for you, but it's okay, you know? And I just wish more people would look at movies that way. Just enjoy them for what they are, instead of like choosing a side that, you know, some people are hoping that it fails at the box office. Some people, you know, keep pumping it up, but whatever. Like I said, I like Gemma Chan. I hope I see her in more things. What was she in, Jack, other than Captain Marvel? She was in something else.
She was in Captain Marvel as Dr. Minerva. But she was also in the BBC series Humans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I never seen her before. Need to see more of her.
I've seen more stuff with her in it, and you know, I think she's very talented. So she's really pretty good. And like you said, Joe, the way she acts and emotes without, you know, throwing a lot of dialogue out there, you could just look at her and know what the character is going through. So no, she's very good.
She would have been a good Rose. Well, yes.
Okay.
If she would have looked like that, if she would have acted like that, you know, because Kelly Marie Tran, I think that she kind of went overboard. It was her first role, and I think she overacted. I don't think, you know, Gemma would have done that. I think she would have been subtle, unless the director tried to get her out of it. But she's great, you know. I'm all for her to replace Rose in the next Star Wars movie, if that ever happens.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of excited that I always mispronounce his name. The guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Taika Waititi.
Yes. I can never say that name.
I'm not saying it either, but I think his name is funny.
But like, I think he would make a Star Wars movie that was just a lot of fun.
That, well, he is making one.
He is. I know he's scheduled to make one, but they haven't said anything about it. So we don't know if it's a continuation.
No, you know, they're all brand new ones.
Brand new. They're not continuing the story of Rey is over and done.
Nope, it's done.
Okay, well, I'm just looking forward to his movie, and some people hate him, but Rian Johnson, he's supposedly still down for a trilogy of his own, and I would have liked to see where he was going with Star Wars after The Last Jedi, despite so many people being angry, because honestly, I would watch that before I would watch Rise of Skywalker anytime.
Did you watch the recent sequel trilogy, Fredra? Okay. Did you like The Last Jedi?
Yes, I did.
I liked it. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, we've talked about it but a couple times, not many.
Yeah, no, I liked it. Like, again, I didn't like the character Rose. I felt that there was a really big shift, though. My issue with the kind of the movie is, not that I have a problem, with seeing more women in Star Wars, but there was a lot of women in Star Wars. They outnumbered the men in the second movie. And that's like when people will say, like a lot of people criticize in Eternals because they said it, some people said it was woke. I didn't think Eternals was woke. And if anybody, would say anything about it would be me. I think it was, it was diverse. And there's a difference between diverse and being woke. And, I'm all for diversity as long as the characters are written well and the story is written well. But like woke is a perfect example is The Last Jedi, where all the men look like idiots and all the women, were 10 times smarter than them. Like, look at Poe. Poe is an idiot from beginning until the end. And then what's her name? The long neck actress, something Dern, Laura Dern.
The long necked actress, henceforth known as the giraffe. Okay.
it just turned me off because I'm sorry. I don't want to get into it. I just don't. I still like The Last Jedi. I like the Rey and Luke and Kylo Ren stuff and the Snoke stuff, but it's still problematic. Much better. It's like Citizen Kane next to The Rise of Skywalker, but it's got its own problems. Force Awakens. Now that was an awesome movie. Still like that. That was so well done. I can't believe that J.J. Abrams directed The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker. I wanted to say really quick. So what I've been up to is I'm getting excited because tonight, right now in theaters, they're showing Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago, which is the director's cut of Rocky IV.
Really?
Stallone has been working on this.
I haven't seen it publicized up here.
They haven't been really publicizing it, but they're having one of those Fandango one night events. So I was tempted. I was like, I won't do Nerd Alert. Instead, I'll go see Rocky IV. Because it's not bad. I thought it was going to be expensive. It was $12 to go see it.
That's what movies cost anyway here. So
yeah. And there was also a live conversation with Stallone and I think Dolph Lundgren, it's either before or after the show. So that was part of your thing.
Just imagine that. You'll remember when I broke your nose because you wanted to be hit for real?
No, he almost killed him. He almost gave him a heart. He swelled up his heart. He almost died when he punched him in the chest.
Jeez.
Like his blood pressure was over 260. His heart swelled up. I remember seeing Rocky IV in theaters and I love the Rocky movies, except for Rocky V is a piece of crap. It doesn't exist in my life. That's like the Rise of Skywalker for me. But I saw it in the Lane Theater, which was a really old movie theater in Staten Island. It was around since like the 30s or 40s. And so it had that classic look and everything. And it was a packed theater. And I was like, you know, middle seat of the middle row. And it was winter and I had my winter coat on. And when the Apollo scene came and he got killed, I was so nervous. I had a panic attack. I wanted to leave the theater because he was twitching and everything. And that really freaked me out. I thought I was going to have a heart attack and die. And that was my first panic attack that I ever had. I've had them, you know, afterwards. I've battled them. I'm okay now, but they suck. You know, I thought I was going to leave the theater because I couldn't believe how I felt. But I stayed through the movie, and the movie, it was good. You know, it's not my favorite Rocky. It's more of a music video. And he even says it, like he tried to, MTV was popular at the time. So there were like a ton of montages in there. There's like five or six different montages in there. And it's only 90 minutes, the movie. But where it delivers is the training montages are really, really good. And the fights are really, really good. The other stuff, you know, Paulie with the robot, the kid, and, you know, it's, eh. But that's what he did. He got the movie, you know, he, you know, one day decided that I like the way it looks, you know. So he got rid of the robot completely, and he added in like all new scenes and all different alternate angles of the fight. So you no longer, like when Drago's punching Rocky in the face, you don't see him missing. So you kind of see like his back. There's never a punch, because that movie is infamous for showing so many swings, right, where the guy's head goes back, but it doesn't even touch his face. But I've been reading up a lot of it. I watched a documentary on it, and it looks really cool. He's changing the color timing of it. And it's going to be available, I'm hoping, for purchase tomorrow on Vudu and Amazon. And it's going to be...
Is it the anniversary of it or something? That?
Yeah, I think it's the 35th anniversary. But he was planning on doing it the year before COVID. And then COVID came and he kind of just stayed in, you know, and didn't want to do it. But it's going to be in 4K, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. So I'm really looking forward to it. He's changing the aspect ratio, which I'm not sure if I'm going to like that, because it was filmed in 1.85 and now he's making it 2.39. So he's actually cutting the top and the bottom to make it look more cinematic. But I don't know how that's going to work with the fights, because somebody's head's going to get cut off. But I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it's a good movie. I hope it's better than the theatrical one, but I don't know. You know, we'll see. Anyway, let's get into the news. So Spider-Man No Way Home, I guess, is the big news story. Like, we've been seeing leaks for a while, and I kind of forwarded that picture to you guys of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield with Tom Holland. What did you guys think? Do you think they're going to be in the movie?
Oh, at this point, I think it's moot. We know it's happening. It'd be nice if they just kept their masks on a little bit more.
That's true.
I could see them all, like, at one point, all pulling them off, and it's Parker power, you know?
It's like Spider-Man. Favorite? You think they're going to be in the movie?
Yeah, I think they will. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see how that turns out. But I agree. It would be nice to see a couple of them or all of them with their masks on as well. Not just the posing, you know?
Yeah. Who's your favorite, Fedra? Who's your favorite Spider-Man?
It's a good question. I think so far it's still Tom Holland. I mean, after him, I'd say Tobey Maguire, because he was just better at acting all the different aspects of Spider-Man. I don't think Andrew Garfield was there yet.
What about you, Jack? Who's your favorite?
I gotta say, Tom Holland. I mean, there's something about him like that has that earnestness of Peter Parker. He makes a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire had that earnestness, but I just don't think, I think he was still a little too old at that point.
Being too old.
How old
was he? Spider-Man. He's Spider-Man.
But he was Spider-Man when he was still in high school. I think he was just a little too old to be playing a high schooler. If they had him become Spider-Man when he was in college, maybe the whole dynamic would have been a little bit better. But I'm not saying Maguire was bad. I like him. I recently found something called Bully Maguire on YouTube.
That's the first time you've seen it?
That's the first time I've seen it. I never saw these before. And I'm
what is it? Here.
It's Peter Parker from Spider-Man 3, and he's been inserted into the MCU movies.
It's the emo Peter Parker.
Yeah, emo Peter Parker.
Oh,
so
my
like
gosh.
They have him in Endgame Endgame, where you know you see the hammer Thor's getting trounced, and you see the hammer being lifted, and it's not Cap, it's emo Peter Parker, and he's walking and he's swinging the hammer, and they've superimposed his head.
Oh my gosh!
It is hysterical.
Really?
And you know, then they just have him in all sorts of things. Like, at one point, Doctor Strange is doing something, and here comes Peter Parker out. He's doing the strut and the dance, you know, and everything.
No.
It is hysterical, and I was crying when watching it. But I like Maguire, but those movies have not aged well. I got to get to Holland. Andrew Garfield, I think he's very talented. However, there's only so much an actor can do with the material he's given. And the first one was okay. He was kind of a little bit more, as far as Spider-Man goes, I thought he was a little bit mean when he put the costume down. When he put the costume on and he would tell Spider-Man's known for making jokes. There was just something kind of mean to Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. It was a little bit better in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but the rest of the movie was just so gosh darn awful. And the scenes with Emma Stone in the second one was just painful to watch. They were so terrible. But once again, there's only so much he can do with the material. So, but he comes in last in the rankings of Spider-Man.
My favorite's Tobey Maguire. And the reason is I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man when he is Spider-Man and he has his mask on and he keeps his mask on. But Sony or MCU, they keep messing up Spider-Man or Peter Parker. He comes off as a doofus in every movie. Like he always does something stupid and irresponsible, and then he fixes it at the end. And then in the very next movie, he does something stupid and irresponsible, and then he fixes it in again. You know, and I'm not going to give away spoilers for No Way Home, but he does something stupid and he has to fix it again. Whatever happened to with great power comes great responsibility? Because this guy just doesn't get it.
He's still a kid.
I don't care. You know, you got to learn.
If it was an older Spider-Man, you wouldn't see that as much. But he's still a high school kid. He's still a goof. We all did stupid things back in the day.
Not as stupid as this kid. I got a problem because
we're not superheroes. If we were superheroes, we would have been super stupid.
Well, no, I think that, you know, Marvel and the MCU, they're intentionally making him look stupid because I honestly think I had this conversation with Eric that the issue is like Marvel and Sony. Well, Sony's lending Spider-Man to the MCU so he can be in the Avengers, and then the writers for or the producers from the MCU are helping Sony with their stories. But I think they make him too reliant on superheroes or older people for him to stand on his own. Like, you know, in the first one, it was Iron Man. The second one, it was Mysterio and Nick Fury. And this one, it's going to be Doctor Strange, which is fairly obvious. And he's never going to come out on his own unless he's on his own. That's why I don't like all this guest star crap that they've been having going on, you know, with these Spider-Man movies, because it just makes him look like he's desperate for attention. He desperately wants to be an Avenger. He desperately wants to, he's like that kid in school that it just isn't cool. And he hangs around with a really cool guy with hopes that just by hanging around with him, that he'll somehow be looked at as cool. And that's not Spider-Man. Spider-Man was never, ever like that. And that's why they're getting him wrong. And again, like what Marvel did was they wanted to help Sony because all those movies were not making that much money. Like Guardians was making more money than The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And Sony's like, well, we got to do something about this. So they had an agreement where they had the Marvel people come over. And but I really think that they're intentionally making him look like a buffoon so that they'll always need the Marvel superheroes to guide him instead of him being on his own. And then when No Way Home, Far From Home, which for me is the worst MCU movie ever, made over $1 billion. Disney's like, wait a minute. We didn't want it to be that good. You know, it's like, we want some of that money because they were getting nothing. They basically, all they were basically doing was being able to have Spider-Man in the Avengers and Civil War. And they're like, well, we want half of what you guys are getting. And Sony's like, well, no way. You know, it's like, we own Spider-Man, so we can do whatever we want with him. So they kind of bullied Sony into giving them a portion. I forget what it is now. It might be a quarter now. So like they're maybe 25% of the production is being paid by Marvel, so they get 25% of the profits. But my point is that, I mean, I'm looking forward to No Way Home, especially for the nostalgia thing of seeing all the villains and, you know, the old Spider-Man and, you know, what's his name? Tom Holland, you know, there too. But I'm also concerned that he's just going to look like a buffoon again.
I think buffoon might, we're throwing terms buffoon and stupid around. I think that's a little bit harsh.
No, it's not.
Spider-Man. I don't find him buffoonish. He is. I don't think he's stupid, but I think he does things like a teenage kid would. And he still has to grow. Maybe after this one, if this is the last Marvel collaboration, maybe we'll see Spider-Man more on his own, like you're liking, you know.
Nope.
That you want to see. That's what I'm thinking.
No. He's got, and again, Tom Holland, he annoys me too, because it's like he's 25, 26 years old. He acts like a friggin' kid. He's always like revealing spoilers to the movies, like Endgame, Infinity War, you know,
he's
before
the new
movies.
Mark Ruffalo, don't you know
that? He is. Well, Mark Ruffalo is just dumb. And but like when Sony and Marvel parted ways, he got really upset, and he stopped following Sony on Twitter and Instagram, and then he called up the heads at Sony and was crying and saying that, you know, you can't do this. It's like, you're 25 years old, you idiot. You're not like a 15-year-old kid. You're getting paid by Sony. You don't unfollow Sony. You unfollow Disney because they're not paying you anything. Sony is, well, I guess they paid them paid him for the Avengers, but he's getting most of his money from Sony. I would have fired
him. He's building to a rant here, Fedri. We've got him on a roll.
Well, yeah, I would have fired him. It's like, well, who are you, you little snot-nosed kid, telling us, a big corporation, what we can do? It was Disney's fault. I don't know. He annoys the hell out of me. I'm sorry. And he annoys me that he spoils all this stuff, which I like spoilers, but I just don't like that he does it. And then the whole thing with him not wearing a mask. Now, I know that's not all his fault, but it annoys the hell out of me.
They all take the mask off.
Not as much as he does.
I think McGuire was close to it.
No.
Garfield, I think, kept his mask on more than both of them.
He did. The second one, I was super impressed that he kept it on almost the whole time.
And that was the second Amazing Spider-Man 2 was really, I think, the most comic book accurate costume of Spider-Man in any of the movies.
It was.
That was beautiful. One of the best things about it. We actually got to see the Spider-Man we read in the comics.
Yeah.
Even though I do like the MCU suits as well, but that's just me.
I'm getting sick of the red and the black one. I wish that he would go back to the blue and the red one, but whatever.
Eventually, I'm sure.
So Wakanda Forever, which is a sequel to Black Panther, might be introducing the son of T'Challa and Nakia.
She didn't even want to date him. Now she has a kid with him.
Yeah, no. Well, but I have to say it's a good way now that Chadwick Boseman is gone to fill in the shoes for Black Panther. Although the kid would be an infant, right?
Right. Yeah. If we take it like right away.
Yeah.
So how's that, like, as far as the story, how's that going to pan out? I mean, I'm interested because I loved, you know, Black Panther, but as far as the film, but, you know, I'm just wondering, where are they going to go now?
Well, let's say, like, Black Panther took place before Infinity War. So 5 years may have passed. So the kid is at least 5 years old. So she could have had the baby before Infinity War and just didn't tell him. So we could stretch it to say he's maybe 10 years old.
But even that's a stretch.
But even that's still too young to be Black Panther. I don't know.
He has a problem with Tom Holland acting like a teenager. Can you imagine him having a 10-year-old Black Panther?
That depends on who plays him.
No, it doesn't. A 10-year-old Black Panther would not be a good idea.
Well, yeah, unless they take it, they might make it really dark. You know, we could go that route.
Yeah, I'd be okay with dark.
I don't know. It's just so funny. Fedra, I was not a fan of the Black Panther.
No, really?
Okay. You know, I wasn't. I mean, I've watched it since, and it's like, you know, it's a little better for me, but I never got all the rave reviews where people were gushing over it. And this one now, I have Wakanda Forever. I don't know. I have no interests in it. He was great as T'Challa. It's sad what happened, and I don't know. Since they don't want to recast T'Challa, going with an alternate person now stepping into those shoes, and in the comics it was his sister. I liked her as a supporting character in the movie, and since she appeared in other things, but I'm just not keen on her taking the lead. It's just, I don't know. I'd rather they just left the Black Panther where he is and not go back to the character. But that's just me. I'm sure people will be like screaming, "Jack, you're horrible," but I'm used to that.
Did you see it in the theaters, Fedra?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did, and it was great in the big theater.
Yeah, no, that's what I was impressed at, because it's the first time we really saw, like, I guess there was Blade before that and Spawn, but it's the first time that we saw like a black superhero. And what I loved about it was seeing people so excited, like in the black community. There was a lot of people in my theater that were really excited to see it. And it really gave me chills throughout the movie, you know, because I finally got it. Like they're finally seeing someone, you know, that represents them up on the big screen as a superhero.
And oh, that was cool. It's just the movie itself. I
liked it. No, I thought the movie was very Shakespearean. That's what I liked about it. You know, there was a nice twist to it that I really didn't see coming. My problem, though, is what the press does is they blew it out of proportion and they made it like it was the best Marvel movie ever made.
Best movie ever made.
Yeah, it was nominated for Best Picture. Come on. No way in hell should that have ever been nominated for Best Picture. It was a good...
Yeah, I agree. That's a little much.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good Marvel movie, but it's not in my top 10. But it definitely had a bias that it's like, well, we have to nominate it for Best Picture. We just have to. And it really... That kind of soured it. You know what it is? It's like, again, I've never watched an episode of Game of Thrones because so many people always talk about it and they're like, you have to watch it. It's the best thing ever. You have to watch it. You haven't watched it yet? Watch it. Why haven't you watched it yet? You should watch it. I'm like, I'm never watching it, you know, just because people are pushing it in my face. And I never did.
But I watched 15 minutes of Joker, Joe. So
does that mean
15 minutes of Game
of Thrones?
I have to watch 100 hours of Game of Thrones?
No, I said 15 minutes of Game of Thrones.
I already watched 15 minutes of Game of Thrones. It, you know, just wasn't my thing.
Okay, then we're good. Okay.
Yeah, Jack will eventually watch the whole full 2 hours of Joker. But
no, I won't.
He's
I mean, 80. I've seen all of Game of Thrones, and I've seen those episodes multiple times. So I've realized, Joe, there's something really wrong with you.
What, with me? What are you talking about?
Someone else sees it.
You haven't seen the show, and you have no interest. I can't believe it.
Well, I don't want to see it. That's just what I say. No, well, right now it's just too daunting. You know, it's like.
It is. Yeah, that's daunting for sure.
Actually, it's less daunting now because you could watch the whole thing.
Well, no, how many seasons were there?
I think it's seven.
Seven seasons?
Yeah, but the problem is it's like to be continued. We'll see it back for next season in another 2 years. You know, like at least now you could watch the whole thing.
Back to back. And they are long. They are over an hour, aren't they? Every episode almost is over an hour.
It varies in length. Some are longer than others. You know, but then again, there are some episodes that just completely blow your mind. Like, wow. But there are some dogs in there too that stuff goes on you just don't care about. But
no, I can watch on HBO Max. But
there you go. Not. Yeah, you can, Joe. You have no excuse.
Whatever.
Instead of watching Rocky for the 100th time, watch something new and challenging.
I will say that what I actually admired, I have not read all the books, but my friend was really sweet and he got me the whole thing for Christmas. So I do really? Got to start reading it. Yeah. And it's leather bound and they're all different colors. It's beautiful.
How many books are there?
I believe it's seven.
Oh, okay. No,
aren't there supposed to be seven, but it's only like book four out?
Maybe. I think that's more accurate, yeah.
Because they're kind of worried. He works so slow that they're worried he's going to die before he gets to finish it, which is why HBO kind of went off on its own.
Yeah, and I know that he was releasing one of them soon, but I don't remember what number.
All right. Well, you got a lot of books. I'll just say that.
But I was just going to say that the first episode of Game of Thrones is really like word for word of the first chapter, which I really admired. That's at least how much I've read. And I was at least impressed that it was that accurate. So
that's cool. I don't know. I just can't get into it. All right. Moving along. So that actress that was in Eternals, who played, what was her name, Fedra? Makari? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Yeah, Makari. Yeah.
Makari. So that is Lauren Ridloff. So she basically was talking to CineXpress. And she basically said that her character is faster than the Flash because she travels faster than the speed of sound. Now, I don't know if it was tongue in cheek. I didn't see the actual interview. Like, she might have just been laughing at it. But my problem with something like that is when you have to give props to the OG, which is the Flash, you know, it's kind of like Icarus has to give props to Superman, and so does Thor and anyone else that's like Superman, you know, they're the OG. And, you know, I just think that you shouldn't be saying, well, my character is better than this character. Reminds me of Captain Marvel.
Well, yeah. At least she said my character. Brie Larson's like, I am stronger than Thor. It's like, yeah, Brie, you're not true. Captain Marvel. So at least she was saying my character is best in his flesh, which cannot be true. But
right. I was going to say also, like, no offense to, you know, Makari as a person, but she's also an actress and she's playing this character. So she's, of course, going to promote her character and not necessarily, you know, the classic and the true. So I think it's just that, Joe.
I know, but it's just, you know, this is
it grinds being, your gears. Yeah.
Yeah. Grinds my gears. I'm being nitpicky. You don't throw the Flash under the bus just to make yourself look a little better, especially if you don't know the full ramifications of the character. I don't know too much about Makari or Makari or whatever the hell her name is. But I would much rather see the Flash than her, actually. Again, I guess that's the whole thing. It's like with me as a kid, although Quicksilver was a part of Marvel and I loved Marvel, I still had to tip my hat to the Flash because he was really the first speedster out there. Same thing with Green Arrow and Hawkeye. Green Arrow, you know, above Hawkeye. Who else is Mr. Fantastic, Plastic Man? I don't know, you know, I'm pretty sure Mr. Fantastic came first, but
I don't know who came first.
We did this once before and I don't remember, but I'm hoping Mr. Fantastic came first.
But even though their powers are similar, it's still Plastic Man is pure comic relief. Reed Richards is the brains of the outfit. They're totally different in everything except their superpower. So,
yeah. Anyway, I just felt like, you know, mentioning that because
I don't like what's going on here.
No, if I knew sign language, I would sign it to her. Hey, leave the Flash alone. Don't throw that guy under the bus.
Sure, I think she could throw Ezra Miller under the bus, but, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He bothers me. Now, that guy bothers me.
Everything
Joe says about Tom Holland, I'm going to be saying about Ezra Miller if I go see the movie.
You'll go see it, I'm sure.
No, I don't know.
Batman's going to be it. Michael Keaton's going to be in it.
Yeah, but Michael Keaton is great, but seeing him for 2 seconds on the screen in a Batman suit, not worth my price of admission. I'll wait till it comes on TNT and I can watch it for free.
All right. So Spider-Woman.
20 minutes.
Might be joining the MCU. Well, they are making a movie. Sony's making a movie on Spider-Woman. And Olivia Wilde, I think, is directing it. Now, she was in Tron Legacy, the girl. What's that?
Olivia Wilde directs?
Yeah. Yeah, she directed that movie. Oh, Fedra, I have a feeling you've probably seen it. What's that?
Do you guys still pick me up here?
Well, you just turned off your video.
I don't know how my video just went off. Okay, never mind. As long as I'm still connected.
Okay. It was about two girls, Fedra. Oh, man. It was a good movie. I liked it. It was, I know people hate saying this, it was like the female version of Superbad. And it was funny. I thought it was a good movie. I mean,
Booksmart.
There you go. That's why.
2019. No, I haven't heard it or seen it. Okay.
No, it's good. I think it's on Hulu. But no, it's good. It's about two girls that, you know, are friends, and they start to have different interests. High school thing. It's fun. You know, I liked it. But anyway, she's directed movies, my point. What was my point of this whole thing? Oh, yeah. So she's joining the MCU, and apparently, they're making a Spider-Woman movie, and apparently she might join the MCU because Spider-Woman might be part of that deal with Spider-Man in the MCU. Like, they might have also gotten Spider-Woman too, where stuff like Kraven the Hunter, Morbius, I don't think that they are affiliated with the MCU.
But you know what? I think it makes more sense to her in the MCU anyway, because, I mean, her origins are tied to Hydra. She's an Avenger much more than Spider-Man was. You know, her supporting cast in the comics are all MCU characters. You know, her best friend is Captain Marvel. So it makes sense that she'd be more on the MCU side, and she's not really, aside from having Spider in her character's name, she really doesn't have much to do with Spider-Man.
Yeah, who was that one that had the black and white costume?
Well, that was the second Spider-Woman, Julia Carter, Carpenter or Carter.
She was more like Spider-Man, right?
No, she still wasn't. I'm not too sure about her origins. I think she was more of like a mystical sort of origin or something, than like a Spider-Woman. The original Spider-Woman, she was sort of created by Hydra using experiments similar to Steve Rogers with the Super Soldier. You know, they made her have her powers. I'm not sure about Julie Carter though. She just kind of showed up one day in the first Secret Wars. Remember? It's like they had the scene, and here she jumps out from behind a rock and says, "Hey, I'm Spider-Woman." And they're like, "No, you're not. We don't know you at all." "No, I'm the new Spider-Woman." And then it took off. But I don't really remember how she got her powers or anything.
Yeah, I thought her and Peter were going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. They wore the same clothes. That was like a cool costume. Which was hers, right?
Yeah, her costume is cool.
Yeah, I did like hers too. Did you ever see Spider-Woman, Pedro?
No, I have not.
She's kind of cool. I think you would like her. I think you could definitely cosplay as her if you ever wanted to.
Well, she has that super long, crazy hair. So, Fedra, you're right up there.
All right. That might be a cool shoot before I cut this hair.
Why? You thinking about cutting your hair?
Yeah, I don't know how much longer I can hold on this hair. It's every night when I go to sleep, like, sometimes I have neck pain because of how heavy it is. So, there's definitely some sacrifice there.
No, how long does it like go past your waist?
Yeah, I'm like, it's literally like kind of right above my butt right now. So I'm like, I don't know, 5'1". So it's like most of me.
not Rapunzel yet.
No, not yet, but I'm getting there.
I knew a girl, and she used to teach I guess like aerobics, and her hair was longer than yours. But that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and I love it, and I love it you got to take care of it. I brush it twice a day. It's a real thing, and it's a lot of maintenance, but you know, it's beautiful and it feels great. But ooh, when it gets heavy, it's rough.
I guess that helps you, your exercise, though. Yeah.
I thought it would unkilter me, like put me off balance, you know, if I put the bun on my head, you know.
She's going to be like Luca Brasi with this huge neck that, you know, from working out with her hair swings.
I'm shocked that you even know who Luca Brasi is, Jack.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't think you watched
movies.
Yeah. No, I see you fed your running on the treadmill and your hair getting stuck. That would suck.
Yeah, always got to tie it up. Yep, definitely. Or braid it. I do like braiding it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
You got to do the Princess Leia cinnamon buns before, you know, you cut it.
Oh, definitely.
No, she could do the slave Leia.
I'll get there.
Oh, well, you know, now you're going a little over.
No, slave Leia had a long kind of ponytail, right?
She did. Yeah, she had like a small bun type thing with like this thing around it, and then she had her hair down or something. It was interesting. Oh, the whole look.
Yeah. And please join the WDWNT gift page where we have all sorts of merchandise like the Slave Leia Fedra photo from Nerd Alert.
Hey, if you want an autograph, it's $75, the print. Okay.
on this special mug, the clothes go. When you tilt it, she's from the white gown to the bikini.
There you go.
Or hey, Ben.
It's financing, you know, the you know, Nerd Alert, so hey.
Well, no false advertising, people. That's not available on the site that I know of.
Write WDWNT.com and demand your Fedra pen.
All right.
Or your Fedra mug.
So tomorrow is Disney Plus Day. Today is Thursday. So Friday is Disney Plus Day. And they're going to have some festivities, I guess, for subscribers, some special things. But I found this kind of interesting is that 13 of the Marvel movies are going to be shown in the IMAX expanded aspect ratio. And I don't know how that's going to look, but I think it's kind of cool. I remember The Dark Knight had a shifting aspect ratio on Blu-ray where it would be widescreen and then all of a sudden the whole screen would fill out and it would look a lot better. So I'm hoping that that's what it is, that it's like just fills out the screen. You know, I would rather movies be like that where you don't have black bars on the side and the bottom, that it just fills up the whole screen.
I don't think I've caught that. Where did that?
Well, you don't have the Blu-ray. That's why.
No, I have. Which Batman was it?
The Dark Knight.
I have The Dark Knight on Blu-ray. I don't remember that ever happening.
It happens when he's in Singapore.
Like when he's in Tokyo or something. He's on the building, supposedly.
Well, Singapore, I think. And yeah, when he's on the boat. It's like that.
The yacht. I don't remember it ever shifting like that.
No.
Huh. Okay.
So have you seen movies in IMAX at all, Fedra?
No. Very rare in my life, actually.
Have you seen any IMAX at all? Like, have you seen nature documentaries or anything?
I've gone to one, but it's been so long that it's hard to remember.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of IMAX, real IMAXs, the ones that are 8 stories tall, these crap imitation IMAXs that these theaters that are showing, those aren't real IMAXs. They should be ashamed of themselves for promoting it as such. But to see, I saw on the IMAX at the Beacon Theater in New York, I saw the Rolling Stones at the Max, Oh my God, that was so awesome. First of all, it was super loud. And again, the screen was 8 stories tall. And I remember someone writing a review and he said that, what's his name? I can't even think
Mick
of
Jagger.
It. Not Mick Jagger. Keith Richards.
Keith
Richards' pack of cigarettes, he said, was as big as his couch at home. And it's true. It was so huge. Everything was so gigantic. It's such a treat to be able to see a movie on a real IMAX screen. And, you know, but again, like if you saw Justice League, which I don't get, Zack Snyder did it in a format where it was like the IMAX, where it's more square. So you had black bars on the left and the right instead of the top and the bottom. But that's not IMAX enhanced. IMAX is basically takes over the whole screen, like at home. So I'm interested in it. Shang-Chi is coming out tomorrow on Disney Plus. So that'll be, I think, in the IMAX enhanced aspect ratio. So it'll be interesting to watch. I'll probably watch some of them just to see what it looks like. And if I get hooked, I'll probably sit and watch the rest of it, which I probably should watch Guardians again, because that's such a great movie. Speaking of Guardians, Dave Bautista, he kind of crapped on his Drax character. He's in. All right, let me say the story first. I guess they were interviewing him about Dune, and he said he's talking to ABC News. He said, the thing with the character was it just gave me the opportunity to showcase a different type of performance. And that's what I really love about working with director Denis Villeneuve. I got the opportunity to show myself as a performer in a different light. I'm not just a guy in Guardians of the Galaxy walking around shirtless and saying stupid blank. So have you seen Dune yet, Fedra?
No, I haven't. Okay. I really want to. I missed it. I need to. It's, you know, it's bad enough. I heard your guys' spoilers right away.
Well, it wasn't spoiling much. If you saw the original movie, you're not going to get too spoiled. But Jack, you saw Dune.
Yeah, I saw Dune. Honestly, I don't remember him having that much to do in Dune.
Exactly. I mean,
they gave all of the dialogue for the Harkonnens came from the Baron. Beast Ravon, he's nicknamed Beast because he's, you know, he's a sadistic lunatic, you know, who he's just a monster that rips people apart with his bare hands. But he's not a guy big on dialogue. He's that hulking menace that lumbers around. So,
well, I'm telling you, Fedra, right now,
saying he had so much to do because he just had to stand around and stomp and look threatening.
Well, yeah, that's what's funny about it, Fedra, is when you see it, basically all he does is he screams, you know, he yells his dialogue. He doesn't talk his dialogue. He just screams, he yells, and he makes faces. So for him to say that's a step up from Drax,
What Beast Ravon is like. He's a beast. He's a monster.
But so, it's not a step up from Drax.
It's not a step up from Drax because Drax is, I think comedy is much harder than just being a raging lunatic. So I don't know. He has a deadpan style when he does Drax that comes across as funny. And I think that would be much harder to do than be screaming and angry like Ravon is.
Yeah, no, I mean, he should be grateful again that he got to play Drax. He does have a really good comic timing that a lot of wrestler actors don't, like John Cena. He sucks. I can't picture him as Drax. I could picture The Rock as Drax. I think he would probably be a good Drax. But that was part of the reason why I loved Guardians, is because every single character was good in their own light, and they were so different from each other, and they had such great chemistry. It's just crazy, again, how good that movie was and how good those actors were. But yeah, no, I think that him saying that he's glad he had the opportunity to branch out with his acting, I don't know, dude.
You know, not at all. It's like when he was playing Top Job in Spectre. You know,
was that his character? It wasn't Top Job.
Well, that, remember the guy with the bolo in the James Bond?
That's Odd Job.
Odd Job. Okay. Odd Job. Okay. Sorry. Had the wrong name. Job something.
Yeah. So Eternals has been banned in some Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar. And Angelina Jolie came out and she spoke to the Australian website news.com and said, "I'm sad for those audiences. I'm proud of Marvel for refusing to cut those scenes out. I still understand how we live in a world today where there's still people who would not see the family Fastos has and the beauty of the relationship and that love. How anybody is angry about it, threatened by it, doesn't approve or appreciate it is ignorant." So what do you think about what she said, Phaedra? We'll ask you since you're a Phaedra.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it's a tough topic because, you know, in order to find, you know, coexistence, you got to look at the other side, not just what you expect or think that the world ought to be or society ought to be or what we should be displaying. So I can see their, you know, mentality that they want to keep a certain tradition and keep a certain view. It's unfortunate that it's been banned like that, because I agree that it's hard to say. Sorry. I just okay, go ahead, Jack. I'll turn around and think about it more.
Not living in those cultures, we cannot understand how strong those viewpoints are held in the belief system. We can't understand it. We're not part of it. And it just goes along the line. Like, I remember when the movie The Last Temptation of Christ came out. Now, we had to read that in high school, and I went to a Catholic high school.
Really?
Yeah. And we had to read pieces of it. So I remember even just reading it was like, oh my God, what are they writing here? And then the movie came out and everybody just lost their minds. However, this is America. You know, there were Catholic Church saying, don't go see this, boycott this movie, boycott this studio, all this sort of stuff. However, since we're in America, it still came out. And it's actually still a very interesting film. At the time, I couldn't appreciate the book, you know, and I don't even remember all that much from the book, but I do remember the movie. It's an interesting movie, but I can understand why the church and Christianity were freaking out over it.
Because yeah,
it did very much attack some central tenets of their faith.
My Catholic church, I went to Catholic school, and we were told specifically at Mass, we were told not to watch that movie, that it was a sin to see it. I never saw it because of that. You know, but I don't necessarily, I don't know. you know, it's, I know Martin Scorsese did it. William Dafoe plays the Green Goblin. He plays Jesus in the movie. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I really couldn't say what it was like.
So I can see why, because in those countries, their religion is, I think, a much stronger part of their society than it is here. In our society, yeah, we understand we have that tolerance of other faiths where, you know, it's like, okay, we have ours, you have your beliefs, we have ours, you know, we're not ready to go to war over it. In those countries, they are ready to go to war and spill blood over religious beliefs. If this movie offends those beliefs, I can see how it's banned. Because I think all of the different sects and I forget what you call them. All I could think is sects. C-S-E-C-T-S. I don't know what the other term is for it, because I can honestly say I'm far from the expert. But I think they all agree that homosexuality is bad. It's warrantable for death. So that's one thing they all agree on. And considering how big a part it is of that character, I can understand why they banned it. I think it's a great movie, but I can see in those countries how people would be extremely upset and them refusing to show it. So it's not really a surprise. However, I know Angelina Jolie is promoting her movie and she wants it to do well, but I don't believe calling them ignorant is the right word, the right phrasing.
Yeah, I agree too.
Not that I'm saying, you know, not that I'm saying they're right according to my belief system, you know, and our code of society, but I can understand why they're upset and they banned it. So, you know, but calling them ignorant, I think that's not the best term. I'm trying to think in my head what is a good term, but it's not ignorance. Ignorance is not the right term.
No, that's a good point. I that's the last word that she used, and I really didn't focus on that. But yeah, she could have used a better word for that.
Maybe they're not.
Yeah, more tolerant. That's a good. That's a better word.
Other lifestyles. Maybe that's a better term that she should have used. But you know what? She's an actress talking about political and religious views. So because she's famous, she has a soapbox to stand on, and we've seen it before with other actors. So. She has her opinion. Good luck to you, Angelina Jolie. It just won't be popular in those markets, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, all I could say is the one thing about this country is we've come a long way. I mean, when you think like 50 years ago, it wouldn't have been shown. And I'd say every decade, you see there's more and more acceptance, you know, to a person's sexuality, which I think is great. I mean, I think that there's a lot of movies out there that helps us understand, you know, people's sexual preferences. Also, you know, movies help us understand people of different races too, people of different genders. And I think it's great when, you know, somebody could watch a movie and look at a person in a different light because of that specific movie. And I thought that the character of Fastos was fine. I, you know, like I said in the roundtable, I was a little confused at first because I thought that was his son, just because I think the age difference, I don't know, maybe there was an age difference or he just looked like an old dude to me. And, but,
he was several million years old.
That's true. Yeah. What's up with that? Angelina Jolie, you know, I think that, you know, I'm mixed about it. Yeah. There's part of her that I feel that she might've said it for publicity, but I also think that she's standing up for something that she believes in. And like Jack said, she's probably banned in those countries now for saying what she said. So I give her credit for stepping up and saying what she said, if she truly believes it. But if she was doing it just to, you know, to promote herself, which some people do, you never know what an actor or a politician, if they're really sincere or if they're just getting, you know, almost like Facebook or Twitter, where they just want, you know, more and more likes.
I don't think she was doing it to just get publicity. I think she was asked a question and she phrased her answer the way she feels. And,
I think she believes. Yeah,
she's a star that she's not pandering to, like, you hated my movie, so I'm going to say something bad about you. I don't think she'd give in to that sort of.
Well, that's not what I said.
Temptation, or like, let me stir up some publicity by saying this. I don't think that's what was behind her, but.
No, but I don't know. My point is that I think that scene in Eternals, you know, there was nothing wrong with that scene in Eternals. But it is interesting that Disney didn't change it, because they changed the Star Wars scene where the two girls kissed at the end. Even without being asked, they removed it from the China, for China audiences. And people, but again, that when did that movie come out? The Rise of Skywalker? Was it 2019 or?
I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
No, 2018.
All right. Well, a couple of years have gone by. You know, maybe things have definitely changed within 3 years. You know, maybe Disney is a little different. And they wouldn't have done that now, but who knows? A lot of companies kiss China's ass when they should really be kind of, you know, not being less hypocritical about things, like where they'll call out things, you know, injustices that they feel are not right over here, but whatever goes on in China, well, that's fine. As long as we get our money. I don't know, but I think, again, what Angelina Jolie said was fine. And what you guys said was good too. It's that those countries' cultures, that's the way they are. Maybe one day they'll change, but right now we have to respect what, you know, these countries believe and just kind of understand that that's how they view things. We don't have to view it that way. Like Jack said,
you don't have to like it. You have to accept it.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, oh, it's great they banned it. You know, they're standing up for their, you know, da 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 da, you know, those beliefs. And yeah, they're standing up for those beliefs. We don't agree with them, but we have to accept or understand they have those beliefs. Doesn't mean we have to like it, but, or doesn't mean we have to like those beliefs, but we have to understand those are their beliefs.
Yeah.
And there's a world of difference that people don't seem to understand with that.
Yeah.
All right, I agree.
Moving on. So,
behold my words of wisdom and live by the will.
Shut up. Eternals director.
Be like the Hogarties.
Will you shut up? I'm serious.
Oh my God.
I have two more stories. I want to finish this. Let's get going.
Okay.
Shut your mouth.
I'll stop.
So Eternals director Chloe Zoa, more than likely she'll be directing a Star Wars movie, and it'll probably be the one that Kevin Feige is involved with. So she, again, she directed Eternals, Fedra. Do you think that that directing job merits a Star Wars movie?
No. Not at all. But if she's going to go do it, she just better not mess it up now, I guess. if she's going that route, I'm probably sure we're going to see similar things with the transitions, because I thought the transition were terrible in Eternals sometimes. Very sporadic and not really in a good sequence of events. However, you know, the cast was good and diverse. Music was great. Effects were great. So I think it's just about how are they going to paint this next installment, like the story. That's really where I'm always at. If that's not foretold, it's going to be terrible. So yeah, I mean, I just hope she doesn't mess Star Wars.
Jack?
I think, on the other hand, that I think she might do very well. The transitions in Star Wars are very quick to start with, so I think her style is still going to fit in with that. I mean, Star Wars transitions are the screen fades into another scene totally with a screen wipe, or it zooms in from a center fade. That's not hard to overcome. But I think her photography and the way she sets up the scenes have a very cinematic style to them. I think that's going to make Star Wars, her doing Star Wars, very good, because like we're going to see a world. You know, we're not just going to see a quick shot of, you know, here's Coruscant from 1,000 feet up with, you know, all sorts of lights and stuff moving all over the screen. No, we're going to see from a different angle that's going to like look like a sweeping shot of the New York City skyline that you see in so many movies. That I think her style, you know, might make the deserts of Tatooine look incredible. Might make the floating cities of Kamino look wild, you know. And I think she might do, I think she'd do a pretty good job. But once again, you're right, Fedra. They have to have a plan on what this movie is going to be about, and if they're going to follow it up with an additional sequel, what's going to happen in the sequel. Star Wars is different from a superhero movie. You know, if she's making a Star Wars one and done, maybe she could have a little bit more credit, you know, a free reign. But they have to have the idea, if they're doing this as a trilogy, the characters have to have some sort of arc planned out. And there has to be some sort of direction that happens. I am in that camp that I don't believe the sequel trilogy had any sort of plan or anything put together. They should have made three completely separate movies where it's the adventures of Rey and friends, and they're fighting the First Order. If they stuck with that, it probably would have been a little bit better, but they said, no, we have to turn this into another trilogy epic. Well, if you want to turn into a trilogy epic, you have to have some idea of where the trilogy epic is supposed to go. You know, if they made the sequel trilogy, in quotes, three standalone adventure movies with the same characters, I think we might have a different feeling about the sequel trilogy. But they've got to have some sort of direction in where they want the stories to go if they're going to expand it over more than one film.
Well, no, I mean, I agree with that. But my point is, you know, I feel she doesn't deserve it. I'm in Camp Fedra. you know, Eternals was a good movie, but there was nothing in it that I saw that felt that, oh, this is your reward. You know, we're going to give you a promotion. We're going to put you on Star Wars. They had planned this, just like they had planned that Eternals will have a sequel, regardless of how much money it makes at the box office. They might say, you know, due to overwhelming demand in a sequel for Eternals, we're greenlighting a sequel. They had always planned for a sequel to Eternals. And I don't think, I feel like they're rewarding mediocrity, and it shouldn't be rewarded that way. Star Wars, I think, is almost something holy. And I think Disney has been messing it up, unfortunately. But when you think about it, back in the day, George Lucas directed A New Hope, and then Irving Kershner directed the Empire Strikes Back. The third one, what was his name? Marquand or something. You know,
Richard something. Yeah. You know what? I always forget his name.
Yeah. Because he was a nobody. He really didn't do anything. It was a weird choice to have him as director. And then Lucas directed all the prequels. But I think that when you get somebody to direct a Star Wars movie, they got to have a lot of clout. And I'm glad they chose J.J. Abrams for the first one, because he did do the Star Trek reboot and he did a really good job with that. And he did, a Mission Impossible. You know, he was an up-and-coming director. He was good. He proved that he could do good movies. I think he did Super 8. And then Rian Johnson was also a good director. And then they hired the guy from Jurassic World, and then they fired him, and they brought back J.J. Abrams, which was a mistake. But I think that I would rather see them go after a good director. I don't think we'll ever see it. It's possible with Christopher Nolan. I would love to see him do a Star Wars movie. I think that would be fantastic. I would love to see Martin Scorsese do a Star Wars movie. They'd have to give him a hell of a lot of money. But I think he'd be more prone to do a Star Wars movie than a Marvel movie. I would just like to see a good director handle. That's, again, Irving Kershner was more of a dramatic director than he was a sci-fi kind of guy. And he got the best out of his actors. And that's what we need. We need, let the special effects guys handle the sci-fi crap. We need to believe in the story. We need to believe in the people. We need to see chemistry. And I think that's important. Another one I would love to see, Quentin Tarantino, but he'll never do it.
Imagine what his Star Trek would have been like when they were talking about that.
He's still talking about that.
I thought that was it. That was dead. I thought that was.
It's possible he might do it. There was talk of him doing a James Bond movie too.
I can see the James Bond, but yeah, I can't see the others.
Yeah.
What about Ridley Scott?
Ridley Scott, that's another one.
Uh-huh.
There's definitely Steven Spielberg, I think, is overrated. I wouldn't want to see him do
one. I agree. Yeah. I would prefer Christopher Nolan or Ridley Scott.
Yeah, those are two really good choices. But that's my point, is that I don't think, like, again, and it leads into the next story. Patty Jenkins, she's directing Star Wars Squadrons, and that movie is being delayed because of scheduling conflicts. And I think it's because probably Warner Brothers said, we got to get Wonder Woman 3 to start, and they want her back. And again, it's kind of bizarre. Patty Jenkins, like, she did the first Wonder Woman. And now you've seen both, Fedra, right? I think.
Yes.
Wonder Woman 2 sucked. I think universally, I think most people thought that movie is horrible.
Yes, it did. It was horrible.
So why would you reward a woman with a Star Wars movie and Wonder Woman 3 when I mean, if anything, for the first Wonder Woman, I think Gal Gadot basically made that movie. I don't think Patty Jenkins really had much an effect on that movie as what they're pushing. But that's what annoys me, is that somebody does a good movie and then they, like that Colin Trevorrow, who had done Jurassic World, immediately Kathleen Kennedy hired him for episode 9. And I was like, what the hell did this guy do before that? And Jurassic World wasn't that good. It's just people hadn't seen Jurassic Park in a long time. And they're like, oh, we have to go back and, you know, see what the dinosaurs look with the CGI and all that. That movie wasn't, it was okay. It wasn't great. But I don't like when they reward directors with like so much responsibility. Star Wars is important. Get a good director. That's what's important. And usually when you get a good director, they get good actors, you know? So hopefully they'll focus on that. Getting back to, you know, Chloe Zhao and her Star Wars movie, I don't know. We don't know what it's going to be like. I don't foresee it being any good, because I think that even at Eternals, they did push diversity a lot. I think that they'll probably do that. She'll do it again with another Star Wars movie. And I think that it should be less about diversity, more about story. And if you're going to have casting, make it more equality as far as diversity. Because sometimes when you push diversity too much, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And I think that that's been the victim of a lot of movies lately, where they're trying too hard to push diversity instead of getting good actors or, you know, because I know there are good actors too. There are good diverse actors too. Just because, you know, you're diverse looking doesn't mean you're a good actor. They're like, I am so glad that they introduced Gemma Chan, you know, into the MCU. I want to see more people like her. She stood out for me. It's put her in a Star Wars movie. Like I said, let her have a Star Wars movie. I'd be super happy as long as she's a good actor, you know. Anyway, I'm off my.
Oh, I mean, you also, I mean, how you said the actor doesn't have any, I mean, the director doesn't have as much input or effect. I mean, you only have to look at the Star Wars prequels. I mean, look at the talent George Lucas had. And honestly, he didn't let them act. His direction, you know, when you look at who was in those movies.
Well, let's take a look at, you always say that. Let's take a look at who's in those movies.
Well, Liam Neeson is always.
Not that great.
I think he's always an enjoyable actor to watch. You know,
Liam Neeson? Always, yeah.
He may not always take the best roles, but I think he is very talented. Ewan McGregor, I think, is terrific.
Not that great. Not that great. What has he been in? What has he been in other than Star Wars and Trainspotting?
Big Fish.
Whoopee.
Oh, I think Big Fish was a terrific movie.
Oh, please, that's not one of Tim Burton's best.
Okay, so any movie you're like, okay, Natalie Portman?
Definitely overrated.
Samuel Jackson?
Overrated. He played himself in that movie.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He played a cardboard cutout of himself in that movie.
But again,
yeah, but still, it's good.
I don't think he was good.
Well,
as
you know, well, I would say
Mace,
you know,
Windu should have been
the only movie. The only movies that Samuel Jackson are good in Quentin Tarantino movies, because they understand each other. I haven't seen him in anything good other than that.
What? I liked him as Nick Fury. I liked him in
the
villain. I liked him as Nick Fury also.
I did like him in Kingsman. I'll give you that.
You know,
now Nick Fury, no, he plays himself though.
I don't agree with that, but
what's the difference?
I think he held back more in that actually than Star Wars. I mean, in Star Wars, I was hoping he was going to turn and be like, look at me again, and I'm going to give you that force. MF. I mean, I really just like,
exactly.
Felt like he would, I really could see him doing that. I was like, oh man, I kind of want to see that.
not even that, you know, him being, you know, maybe not dropping the MF.
Yeah, the other, yeah.
No, just like somebody's talking and he gives them that, like, what you're talking about look, you know, and see them back down, like, you know, Samuel Jackson's cool. Let him be cool. Don't make him be.
He's a cool Jedi.
Yeah, don't make him be sitting in a conference room like.
Oh, he was pissed off the whole movie. He didn't smile once.
Yeah, I know. Well, he wasn't allowed because Jedi have to remain calm. We hold our emotions to do the right thing. Like, no, let's see some of that crazy guy come out of him a little bit. Like they always said, oh, he follows, he uses this style of lightsaber fighting that skirts the dark side, you know, because it's so aggressive. And
well, he pissed me off that,
you know, let's see that guy who's,
well, whoa. Like I said, he pissed me off that he had to have his own purple lightsaber. There was never such a thing as a purple lightsaber until he, no, he
wanted, you know, to find himself in all those scenes. And
I know that's what he wanted to do.
Purple stick in the crowd.
It just doesn't work. I don't like it.
I love it. I think maybe it's a homage to Prince, maybe. I'm hoping.
That's it, yeah.
No, he was just being a jerk.
They wanted him there in spirit.
No, Lucas said, he goes, you know, you have a choice between blue and green. And he's like, I want purple. And he goes, what? And then Lucas got scared. He goes, but there's only blue and green. I said, I want purple. And he's like, okay, I'll make you purple.
You know? Well, we know there's yellow too now.
Well, yeah, but that was back then. Back then there was only blue, red, and green, you know.
But see, I think that's the beauty of it. Like, I know that, yeah, maybe that's not the greatest way of doing it, but that really sparked this idea of, like, every color there could be, you know, and a lifesaver. And I mean, I don't know. I like that idea of the diversity. It just shows that right in there and in a nice way, too.
Yeah, what's with your diversity, Hogarty? Sorry,
I don't like it.
You're not a blue or green lightsaber Jedi. Get out.
No, I just don't. Yeah, no, they should have just been.
Star Wars is not just blue and green, Joe.
It should have just been blue and red, not even green. You know, because blue is good, red is bad. That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have spoken.
You've spoken.
So let it be. So let it be written. So let it be done. All right. So I guess we'll wrap this one up. So Jack, can you tell them where they can find you?
You can find me at jack@wdwnt.com, or like we discussed earlier, if you want to take a look at some of my modeling work, go on Imgur and search for the tag Jack Mack.
All right, and Fedra?
As always, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Fedra Eckris, or you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And you can send me a friend request on Facebook. And also, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com. Also, check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, and Universal Park News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. There's a ton of fun WWNT merchandise on sale.
And demand your Fedra mug.
Finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And with that, this will be the end of WWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 42. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.